Best Friend by Kilolo. Let me tell you a little bit about Kilolo. Kilolo is a Japanese pop duo consisting of vocalist Chiharu Tamashiro and keyboardist Ayano Kinjo. They debuted as an independent band in 1996 and later made their major debut with this song called Nagai Aida. Since their hits were released before I was born, I didn't know about them at first, but there was a CD of theirs that my mother bought at home, so I had a chance to listen to it. It was when I was in elementary school, and I immediately liked them and started listening to their songs when I had free time. What I like about them is the melodies of their songs. Most of their songs are composed by singer Chiharu and are usually arranged around piano accompaniment. The melody of the songs is simple, but it is so beautiful and makes me feel warm and relaxed. The way keyboardist Ayano plays the piano is also wonderful, and I can feel that she really puts emotion into her piano playing. That's why I like to listen to the piano version as well as the regular version. Also, I love Chiharu's voice because her voice is really soft, gentle, and soothing. Not only is she good at singing, but she also has her own voice that's different from others. I'm not of the same generation as them, but somehow I always feel nostalgic and relieved when I listen to their songs. When I feel lonely or depressed, I come back to their songs, and I feel like it's where my heart belongs and the place I can always come back to. So let's move on to the second song. It's called Sukina Hito, which was released in 1999.
Thank you.
Sukinahito by Kiroro. I'm very happy to share one of my favorite Japanese music duo, Kiroro, with you today. You can listen to their music on Spotify, Apple Music, and other music streams. So that's all for me. Thank you very much.
There's just some extra bit in the music there. I think the character seems to be talking on the phone at the conclusion of the
scene. Still the music video.
So what was that last song about?
Sukinahito means the person who loves, so the lover, or how to say.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit, I can feel it's not very, very, very happy song, but I really like to listen to that kind of song when I feel a little bit loneliness. I prefer the calm songs rather than fast tempo songs.
Great.
Yeah, when I want to relax. So.
Yeah, and you're going to be back with some more. You're going to try and get out to some more performances. Come back with some.
Yeah,
tell us about those soon.
Yeah. I want to attend some music event and I'm going to review.
Great. Excellent. Well, we can look forward to that. Thank you, Ayu Sakamoto.
Thank you.
And her presentation of Kiroro. And you can find them on YouTube and all the major streaming platforms.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to play a track from Trisha Edwards here, and then we'll be back with Peter and Technocracy.
Yes, maybe a few other things, but
thank you.
Here Comes the Sun by Tricia Edwards. That is, of course, a George Harrison composition, originally by the Beatles. You're listening to Speak Up here in CJSF 90.1 FM. Peter Haskell.
Yes. Okay. Actually, I think we'll just cover technocracy for today, but I was intending to talk about the Franklin Roosevelt administration. Now, last week I talked about he had the choice. Actually, it was 1935.
That was when we were talking about the
all-seeing eye.
Oh, right, right.
But the eye of providence.
And On the dollar bill or American money, and you see it elsewhere. It's the pyramid, with the glowing eye on the at the peak.
Now, in 1935, that was placed on the. And I was gonna, we might get to that. I think we'll get to what to next week about some of the rather draconian aspects of the Franklin Roosevelt administration.
Okay,
but the election of 1932. People were thinking of this entity. It was a way of what it was. The concept is that North America, Central America, and part of South America would be part of this technate, and also Hawaii, which was not a state at that time.
Yeah.
And the idea was that this area had basically all of the resources one needed, and you would get these energy tokens to instead of money, and it had all these strange concepts. And I've been to their lectures because,
and this was what the idea of technocracy was.
Yes, I mean it wasn't quite commie creepdom. It was reinventing the commie creep wheel, as it were. No, but it was actually not. It doesn't have the feel of Marxism at all, because it's interesting. Communists always have this idea, well, this one guy is what we go by. We always go by this one guy's writing. Howard Scott was a polytech and engineer, which you can no longer be. When you build a house, you need to have a structural engineer, electrical engineer, and a...
So he was an engineer of everything?
No. I'm trying to explain what a polytech engineer is.
Okay.
Polytech engineer, when you build a house, you can be your own architect if the house doesn't go past a certain structure, but you need a mechanical engineer, a structural engineer, and an electrical engineer also hired. He was at what time you could just be all of them. It's called polytech, but that was a long time ago. He was from 1918 to 1932. He was part of this technical alliance, and he got these people in all fields of technology, science, and they were thinking how to change our civilization. And what happened was that because the situation became so drier in 1932 that they said, well, bring it out now. Bring out your idea. And that was technocracy.
Yeah.
And as I said, that was the basic of it, which is interesting how it differs from Marxism is that Marxism is the idea you have to have the entire world. Mm-hmm. But they said, we know, we just North America, Central America, and part of South America. That it basically all we need, and also Hawaii, and that has all the resources for this area. And we just give people an energy tokens and so on. Now, what was interesting was that when Franklin Roosevelt got elected, there's that period where you're not president, but you're elected.
Yeah.
Someone attempted to assassinate him. And it was very narrow, but it's in November or December of 1932. There was an attempted assassination, just went by him. Now, Franklin Roosevelt, which there's certain things. I'm not going to be 100% saying, oh, he's a great, great guy and all this, but he was pretty serious. He knew his stuff. He was probably, in a sense, indispensable in a way because put down what his intellect was to meet the crisis. Mm-hmm. But in many ways, maybe technocracy would have been the choice, which would have just been a total drastic overthrow. Who knows? But I have attended many a lecture. They want, after 1995, they went over to Outer Grove. I've heard them. No, the reason I wasn't a member of technocracy, and I'm 61. We got to say how old we are at times, Magnus, because they say, how the hell do you know this? Where were you then? Or why do you know about Friday night videos or whatever? But so I remember as a child, we would drive past it.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I asked my father what this thing was, because it was big. It was on Kingsway, close to Boundary Road. It said technocracy. And my father said, oh, it's something about the scientists taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, why aren't we going there? It sounds sort of interesting. And I actually lived in Ottawa from 1978 to 1980, and I said, oh, I should have went to that place. But it wasn't the 1980s that I finally went there. And during the 80s, I was a member of the Green Party, and they said, well, you can't be a member of technocracy and a member of any other political party. So I just know what they were about, what their concepts were. But the other thing is that they are – okay, go on, Magnus.
I was just going to say, so was part of their idea that scientists and technocrats, I suppose – would know best in how to run the world and the economy?
Well,
here's
where it kicks in from all those times at their lectures and so on. What their concept was that engineers would be electing engineers to be over them. Farmers would be electing farmers to be over them.
Right.
You know, so it's like... that was her idea. I mean, I don't know how valid it would have worked out.
Polarization. I think it's called polarization.
Oh, they never said that at their lectures when I went out to Alder Grove.
Right.
But no, it was sort of that. It was like a reworking. Everything would have been reworked, changed around under a technique. So that's what it is. It's basically that if you're a floor polisher, you elect floor polishers to be in charge of floor polishers. And that's what it is. And it's rather elaborate. Here's what happened. Here's what the Vancouver thing, why we became basically the headquarters of technocracy here in the Vancouver area.
Yeah.
There was a flood in Richmond in 1948, a massive flood, and the technocrats, I think, lent their big kind. You know those things that it's a light, and you can tell where a spotlight. Right. This is of another era, I guess, to tell where the hockey game is or something.
Yeah.
And they had lent it. Now, also, what happened was there tended to be more. Canadians per capita interested in technocracy than Americans, and on the West Coast. But that's not the full explanation. The explanation, there was a massive flood, and Howard Scott himself came in 1948, and it got people more interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they always were very, said, how many people are technocrats in the 1980s, 1990s going on? Oh, we don't want to tell you, because there weren't a lot. But they actually, what happened was that after the, this is what happened to, when we're talking back to 1932 and 1933.
So just what?
I'll go on.
So they, with the flood.
Yes.
Right. They lent their equipment.
A searchlight or that big
thing. Right. And that drew attention to them.
It also got people. Yeah. Because it had lingered after. See, what happened was that we should note that something was changed from the Franklin administration. It used to be March that you became president after being elected. And that got changed because they said, well, we should have had this guy sooner because Hoover wasn't that good. But So what happened was that Howard Scott had a radio address on Friday the 13th, January, Friday the, what, the 13th, mm-hmm. 1933, and he got pretty well discredited from this radio address to the United States and Canada,
yeah,
about how supposedly technocracy was going to work. And they said, oh, I think there's a few holes here. Right. But he lived until 1970 and actually came out to Vancouver. Oh, the other thing, I wanted, this is an important thing about technocracy. They actually were actually in the late 40s started being concerned about environmentalism, ecology. Mm-hmm. And that, and Silent Spring is 1961.
Yeah.
So they, but they basically prefigured the environmental movement. And that was one of the reasons why they had some continued interest, or there was something about them. They said, well, we knew about environmentalism before anybody else. But I guess, go on.
Yeah, that's sort of consistent with the brand in their sort of putting forth science and technology and engineering as the sort of highest values that they would pick up on the growing environmental crisis, I guess.
But that was the late 40s.
Yeah.
And that is sort of impressive in a mm-hmm. way. So that's where there was some credence to yeah. it. Oh, and also, this is a 24-hour work week.
Mm-hmm.
So you would work less.
No, that's all
the,
right.
That's the other. But there's so much with these people that it's hard to bring it all out. I didn't bring any notes today. I just going by my memory of years of.
Well, as you say, they used to have a big office on Kingsway. And I remember from growing up in Victoria, they had a storefront in West Victoria off Gorge Road, which is in Victoria. But they don't seem to have a very high profile anymore.
Oh, no. But they don't, Magnus. In fact, they would sporadically, the Vancouver Sun would run in the 1980s, the technocrats, and say, we hope they could bring more people, but it didn't. I don't know. I say something. No, it just, I was actually going to talk more. Next week I'll bring up the banking holiday that Franklin Roosevelt brought forth.
All right, so that's a bit about technocracy and their ideas and movement.
Yes, but it goes much with the Franklin Roosevelt administration.
Yeah.
Supposedly there were some people involved with the technocracy movement that were involved with the Franklin Roosevelt administration.
All right, well, we got a couple of minutes left. Thank you for that, Peter.
Yes.
You were going to jump in with something there?
Yeah, I was going to say that, the idea of technocracy in general is kind of like, I think people have this idea that it's kind of far-fetched, but when you think about the history of the 20th century, many factors have caused technocracy to be the predominant form of social organization by accident because of contingent factors. For example, in the 19th century, there were a lot of wild yellow press, and in the 20th century, it consolidated first to radio, which is what we're doing now, but also eventually to TV, which for most of the 20th century was extremely centralized. In America, it was just three big stations, and that meant more centralized control, more technocratic control. So we're affected by technological factors as well.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. We're going to do a quick trip to Bird Note, and then we'll be back to finish off the show.
This is Bird Note. For 20,000 years, spring rains and melting snow have filled the playas of the rainwater basin of south central Nebraska. Carved by glacial winds at the end of the last ice age, the playas are shallow depressions the warmth of spring fills with abundant life. As winter ends, 10 million waterfowl rest and feed here before continuing north. The seasonal wetlands of the Rainwater Basin form a 150-mile-wide funnel for waterbirds migrating from the Gulf Coast and point south to northern breeding grounds. The basin is the narrowest neck of the great migratory route we call the Central Flyway. In recent years, the number of snow geese stopping in the region during spring has risen dramatically to more than 3 million birds. A third of North America's northern pintails rely on the food-rich habitat here. Shorebirds of 27 species use the wetlands. So do 500,000 sandhill cranes. Fat reserves acquired during their stay here can mean the difference between success and failure in nesting. No other stopover between wintering and nesting grounds can replace the combination of wetlands and grain fields found in the rainwater basin. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Thanks for listening today. This has been Speak Up. My name is Magnus, and with me today are
Peter R.H.
and Stephen. And Ayu was here earlier as well. That's our show for today. Thanks for tuning in. Democracy Now! Will be up in a few minutes after this.
Hi.